Well, Mr. Chandan, I see you smiling there in the corner. Tell us a bit more about what's going through your mind right now.
Well, anyone would welcome consensual agreement between not necessarily violently conflicting interests and parties in Lebanon. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But then again, we cannot have this one-directional finger-pointing, which is talking about some kind of basically underhand or dodgy agendas. Everyone has an agenda. If you're in politics, you have an agenda. The question is, does your agenda facilitate a more peaceful, a more secure life for its people, or does it not? Now, the whole experience of the Arab Spring going into the fourth year, if you look at Libya, if you look at Syria, and if you look at any of the countries actually impacted, but particularly Libya and Syria, you can see it's brought nothing but systematic death squad rule, rape, abduction, looting, human trafficking, and just general violent conflict. So really, I think the Lebanese Hezbollah would be correct. And Sheikh Naim Qassem, who's a senior Hezbollah leader, has made it quite clear that the Takfiri death squads proliferating in Lebanon is a real primary threat to the Lebanese body politic. And if we and they are to develop any type of consensus going forward that's going to address the concerns in a strategic vision of peace and harmony between different faiths and communities, then surely we should understand that these supremacist death squads are the exact antithesis, they are the exact contradistinction to the peaceful living of communities in the region and Lebanon in particular. I mean, I have to say that it's very clear that Hariri and the Future Movement has been opportunistically playing with the supremacist death squads, particularly in northern Lebanon, in Tripoli, and their nefarious machinations and attacks on the Lebanese army. So it's quite clear where the political agenda of Hariri and the Future Movement lies, and I don't think that's conducive at all, and I'm being extremely diplomatic and understating the issue. I don't think that's conducive to peace amongst the communities in Lebanon or anywhere in the region.
But Mr. Chandan, I'd like to get your response on what Mr. Taqi Ad-Din said regarding the Future Movement's concerns about Hezbollah's regional agenda. Now, we've seen Lebanon being susceptible to what's happening within the region, specifically, as you've just outlined, Syria. So shouldn't a regional agenda on a political party's roadmap be acceptable for the Lebanese people?
No, exactly, and that's why I think it's important if we hear the voices, senior voice in Hezbollah, which are pointing the finger at the supremacist death squads as being a major issue in these reconciliation talks. And that's part of the regional agenda. I may have some criticisms, and I do, of Lebanese Hezbollah and their primary regional allies, being the Syrian Arab Republic and also the Islamic Republic of Iran. But nevertheless, if we look at the different agendas at play, which basically is the NATO and allied Gulf Cooperation Council and the Turkish State Alliance on the one hand, and then the resistance axis with different degrees of alliances in the region and globally, I think it's very clear which alliance of forces is bringing war and destruction and traumatic division, and which is trying to hold back the barriers that if they didn't hold back those barriers, the floodgates would be open, and they have been open to a great extent in Iraq, Syria, and Libya, and elsewhere, to this sectarianization of bloody, depraved conflict. Now, that's not to say that Lebanese Hezbollah and the Syrian government and Iran are to some extent also liable in that problem. I think they are to some extent, but I think their culpability is very little in comparison to the greater culpability of the greater purveyors of violence on the planet and the region, which remains the London, Paris, and Washington really sponsoring these supremacist death squads across the region and particularly in Lebanon. Hezbollah are not interested in ripping Lebanon apart in a sectarian fashion. These death squads are, and anyone who are giving any type of cover to them should really look at themselves deeply in the mirror and ask themselves, are they contributing to a viable future in terms of peace for Lebanon?
Right. So, Mr. Taqi Ad-Din, as Mr. Chandana just said, that Hariri's Future Movement has been opportunistically playing with the armed groups in Tripoli. Do you think Saad Hariri miscalculated by supporting the overthrow of President Bashar al-Assad?
Let me say that the gentleman in London, I'm sorry, I didn't get his name correctly, but he is misinformed definitely about who is backing up those death squads you're talking about in Tripoli. When the decision was taken to implement a security plan by the government of PM Salam, the first backer of this plan was the Future Movement and its leader, Saleh Hariri. And we saw that once that backing was that political cover was granted by Hariri, the Lebanese army was really pushing its way in Tripoli and managed to restore the calm to the city and arrest those who are accused of being the leaders of the death squad. And none of them, thanks God, happened to be one of the supporters of Hariri or the Future Movement. Now, as far as the regional death squads, those fundamentalists, the IS and the Al-Nusra Front, definitely, I guarantee you that the position of the Future Movement and its leader, and that was publicly declared, it's against any kind of terrorism brought into Lebanon, whether by those fundamentalists from Syria or from Iraq or from anywhere else. And the reason why they came to the Lebanese borders, I think it has to do with the Syrian situation, that Hezbollah was really one of the players that led them there. And the situation, the security situation that deteriorated somehow inside the southern suburbs of Beirut and the explosions that we witnessed were a direct response for the involvement of Hezbollah in the Syrian war. It wasn't because they were already there. The fundamentalists, they have decided to come into Lebanon and explode the security situation.
Mr. Chandan?
Well, I think our colleague in Beirut is putting things on its head, or as we say in England, he's putting the cart before the horse. It wasn't a somehow, you know, victimized response of these poor militias responding to nasty Hezbollah doing very nasty things in Syria. No, what it was, if we look at it, and actually, you know, our colleague in Beirut hasn't asked answered the question, was it wrong of Hariri to back the movement to overthrow the Syrian government and its president Bashar al-Assad, which is a diplomatic way of saying, you know, were you wrong in backing these death squads in the first place? And we haven't got a clear answer for that, and I don't think that's any surprise. No, Lebanese Hezbollah entered the Syrian file in terms of with arms in hand because these supremacist death squads were proliferating under the cover of the Arab sting, and that was always the plan from the very beginning. We go back to Benghazi in the first week of February 2011, so-called uprising. The SAS were there, William Hague intervened, Sarkozy intervened. It was very obvious and open that actually the Western governments were in open alliance with the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group and other so-called jihadis. These are not jihadis at all, but they're using and abusing these terms and concepts, these so-called other Takfiri death squads. And that was the agenda all along in Damascus. That's not to say that the Syrian people don't have some legitimate gripes and concerns about governance and etc. Of course they do. All people in every part of the globe, in any country, have concerns, but really it's not a way to go about really addressing these concerns in jumping on to this nefarious horse, which is which the death squads are riding on, and then just, you know, using and abusing this situation. No, Lebanese Hezbollah has protected Lebanon from these death squads, and anyone who's really a responsible leader and spokesperson for any section of Lebanon would say it's a matter of national priority to utterly defeat the death squad project in Syria, if not further afield, in direct protection to Lebanon. And thank God, and all respect is due to the martyrs of Lebanese Hezbollah and the many other socialist, nationalist, secularist, and other Islamic-inspired revolutionaries in Syria who are not only defending the Syrian people, but defending the Lebanese people, the Iraqi people, and all people of the region, region and globally as well, because these death squads do not see any borders for their depraved, debased, defiling tactics.
Okay, let's leave it there for now. Mr. Taqiyuddin, I know you had a response. Unfortunately, time's gotten the better of us. I'm sure our producers would love to have another show with both of you present and expressing your opinion so we can continue this conversation. But for now, I'd like to thank my guest that was a co-founder of the Tricontinental Sukan Chandan, joining us from London, and from Beirut, Salah Taqiyuddin with the Lebanon Future Movement. Gentlemen, thank you very much for participating in this edition of The Debate.
Thank you,
and to our viewers for joining us as well. From me and the entire team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.